hello everyone listening today on Wisdom Chat. I have a very good friend and guest on the chat for you today, Lee Usher. We've known each other, Lee, haven't we, for a good number of years now and sort of worked together in various capacities. But Lee is currently sort of Director of Trust, or Customer Services Director, is that correct? Of Trustfolio Limited.
Close. Creditor Services Director of Trustfolio.
I knew it began with a C.
My good.
Lee, I'll tell you what, why don't you tell us a bit about you and what you do and some of your background?
Okay, well, yeah, thanks, Phil, and good morning as well. Delighted to be here. So, yeah, my current role is Creditor Services Director at Trustfolio Limited. Now, we're a fintech group. There's a family of organisations that deliver various different products and services to different sectors. The part of the business I work in, we've launched a new platform that helps creditors and insolvency practitioners communicate better, I suppose, a high-level summary of what we do. I'm responsible for the support delivered to creditors, from onboarding those creditors who are using the platform all the way through to BAU account management type support. And I'll be their main point of contact, really, in terms of making sure they get full value from using the platform and the customers get full value too. Prior to that, which might be interesting, might not be for some of your listeners, I did some work, consultancy work at the Money and Pension Service in 2020. I helped them deliver the PACE project, what some people might know as the Money Advisor Network, helped them onboard creditors over the course of that year when that was just launching. And I also led the review into the Creditor Best Practice Toolkit, which was published at the beginning of last year. Now, that was interesting because that brought us into contact and meeting a contact with lots of different creditors, not just from financial services, which my background was from, but also public sector creditors from local authorities. And that's the sort of the Creditor Best Practice Toolkit is a really good source for creditors who are looking at enhancing their collections and customer support processes to make sure they take full value from the support that's out there in the advice sector and fintech as well.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And I was just thinking that there's a number of things. One, first of all, the Money and Pension Service, government department that sort of oversees the money and debt advice world and looks at sort of standards of practice and give reassurance to those who are seeking some kind of assistance that they're dealing with organizations that know what they're talking about, can help them and support them through difficult times. So that's one thing. The other thing is on the insolvency side, it's a form of debt relief, and there's lots of different types of insolvency routes that people can go down. So there's quite a mix there, isn't there? Dependent on the individual circumstances. But fintech is an area that, and it's a term the general public hear occasionally, but don't necessarily know a great deal about. What you're talking about is the technology brought to bear for organisations to do what they do best. So in this case, insolvency practitioners and creditors that they can use to manage the accounts that are indebted. Whereas for individuals out in the big wide world, fintech can be, as I talk to them about, technology enables them to improve the way they manage their money. Enables them to do things like switching from one provider to another, whether that's utilities, although energy is a bit of a difficult market at the moment. But so there's lots of good things, both in terms of corporate and also consumer side in fintech, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to technology. And from about the age of 5 or 6, I've always had a gaming console or the latest gadgets or whatever. I've always been interested in technology. So this is fascinating for me. And it's an interesting stage in my career. Well, fintech, when you speak to some people who don't understand it, really, it's a bit of a dirty word, and you're replacing humans, and you're taking the human element out of it. That's definitely not what we do. What we say, the products that we deliver to the sector, it's supposed to complement what people do within the workplace. So we've got, for instance, there's three different main parts of our business. One, which you might have heard of, and some of your listeners might have heard of, and might be using actually, is TipTrust. Now, TipTrust, again, it's fintech that supports around about 800 free sector debt advisors across the UK, MAPS funded debt advisors across the UK, through provision of credit reports and some high level open banking data. That technology, it doesn't replace the advisor role. It helps the advisors to be more efficient, and it's brought real efficiencies to the debt advice process in terms of how those advisors can demonstrate some of the affordability, not all. I'll hasten to add, that's a specialist skill from an advisor perspective, but some high-level affordability items can be captured through open banking data, but also demonstration of what debts are owed, because some customers don't know, and advisors will tell you the stories of people going in with paper bags and saying, can you tell me what all of this is, what do I owe? And sort of the credit data that TipTrust offers can help with that. Had fantastic feedback at that business in terms of what advisors have been able to do and deliver, the increased number of advice sessions have been able to deliver with the support from TipTrust. So fintech can really help us all become more efficient.
Just on that point about TipTrust, and you mentioned some clients coming in with bin liners of paperwork. Yeah. It's interesting. The thing I notice oftentimes in our industries, our respective fields, is the how quick we are to make assumptions. We assume that people understand certain things. And yeah, I too have experienced working with people in difficult financial circumstances, those who present paperwork to me that think that it's official, and it turns out it's junk mail. And now, obviously, you know, you're talking of different levels of understanding in this world, but assumption is the one thing that really does hamper, I suppose, people asking for help, because they think, well, what will people think of me? You know, I'm no good. The one thing I get is I'm bad with money, even from people who, when you look at the facts, they're really good with money. And that example you said with the bin liner, it is very common. And so to have means by which we can start to simplify the process, I think is really key. And maybe as we talk about it more and demonstrate it more, the people will feel more comfortable with some of the technology and see how it can actually benefit them. Most people have a smartphone, so fin technologies.
Yeah. I mean, that it's how long have we been talking now before we start talking about the pandemic and the impact of the pandemic? It's got to be discussed, though, because that's something, again, which brings to the forefront the importance of technology and digital solutions. I think it's KPMG who said the pandemic catapulted businesses 6 years ahead of where they were in terms of thinking about digital solutions. Now, some people will say that's for the worse, or other people say, well, actually that's for the better. And I'm definitely in the latter camp. I mean, we can do things like you and I are doing now.
We're
speaking digitally. We're on Zoom or Teams, and we're also recording your podcast. All of that is done through digital communication channel. And that's fundamentally what we do. We've opened up the communication channels to make them easier and simpler for people to use in different sectors. So remove and post and email to a large extent, and opening up a different communication channel that everyone looks at in a consistent way, and hopefully that instills good behaviours, better behaviours going forward.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest issues in the mindset of people concerning technology is the ability for it to be breached. Like for example, data. Is somebody going to pinch my data? Is somebody going to get access to information that they shouldn't do? And there's a when I talk to them about some of the apps out there that they can use in terms of managing their finances, that is the one thing that comes across is, well, how secure is it? So from an organizational point of view, we often hear stories, certainly through the news and media, of like data breaches or simple things. Back in the day, when you remember when the CDs, when they stored data on it, and the number of times somebody had left a pack of CDs on the London Underground, or I remember one guy from HMRC saying to me after there'd been some data lost on CDs, he gave me a pencil and it said on the side of the pencil, made from recyclable CDs. And it made me laugh because we kept hearing these stories. So today, because of that, people are actually saying, well, that's all well and good, but how secure are these systems?
Now, are you being mischievous here? And are you going to ask me about blockchain, which I've just asked you not to ask me about in the preamble? You've got my
Well,
heart
seeing
in
as you
this,
brought the
right?
subject Lee,
Right,
tell
I'll
us
give you a
about
very,
blockchain.
well, I'm going to give you a very high level explainer, and then if people are interested, they can contact me direct, and I'll pass them on to our expert in the dev team, who'll give a much better explainer. So thanks for that, Phil. A hospital pass, but our latest platform, Trust Ledger, which is the platform we're delivering to creditors to manage initially IBA communications between them and insolvency practitioners more efficiently, but also it's got the functionality to include other debt solutions and insolvency products as well. So that is built on the blockchain system of recording information. Now, blockchain, if people haven't heard of blockchain, they might have heard of Bitcoin or Ethereum, which are cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are normally built on the blockchain system of recording information. And the reason for that is it's immutable, almost bulletproof in terms of not being able to be corrupted, the way the data is stored and the information links together makes it that way. We've got a whole separate presentation, like I say, on blockchain. But yes, it's secure and something that creditors really value at the moment in terms of that important part of the compliance and data security side. So
It's
that's really that.
interesting.
That's all I'm going to say on
No,
blockchain.
thank you, Lee. I know it's a very technical subject, and perhaps for some of our listeners, they're not really sort of keen on the too much of the detail. Just to know that at the end of the day, it is a secure system, and likewise with many of the apps. The fact that the whole open banking regulations that came in that allowed the sharing of customer data so that I can go into a system and I don't have to keep repeating myself every time I go to different places. That data can be shared, but shared securely. And the fact that it's approved by, for example, the Financial Conduct Authority. It's also covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, and so we've got secure systems with various backups. And I'd say to anybody who is perhaps a little bit reticent at using any kind of financial technology, not to be so, but to investigate and look into it, because they could be amazed at how easy it makes their lives. And especially going forward, we can see we're going much more digital these days, aren't we? And the pandemic, as you rightly said earlier, Lee, has driven us down this route. And so we can either dig our heels in and not engage with it, or engage with it in a way that works for us. So.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And look, I get the risks, and we take that really seriously ourselves. We've got processes in place to make sure That data is protected, and creditors obviously are interested in that. We wouldn't pass due diligence if we didn't take that seriously. But also, you've got to look at the benefits of what technology and digital solutions offer. We live in a different world now. It's almost 24/7. People want to access information and deal with the things that they need to deal with outside of the normal 9 to 5. I'm sure there's some data from or research from MAPS it might be, which suggests most people look at the finance or the start look at the finances later into the evening, or even early hours of the morning when they're stressing about it, they can't get to sleep. So with digital solutions, they've got that at the end of the fingertips. They've got the information if they want it to look at 24/7, and that's just not something you would have been able to do without those tools.
Yeah, definitely. So Lee, in wrapping this up, what would, if there was one thing that you could share with people that would encourage them or give them something that they could apply in their own setting, what would that be?
In terms of people or creditors or advisors or sectors generally?
Well, if you've got one for any of those, that would be fine.
my advice over, I mean, I talked about my role now and MAPS 2020. Prior to that, I've got about 25 years experience in the financial services, various different roles. I suppose the one piece of advice would be to communicate as early as you can. You're doing a great job at the moment in terms of raising awareness and getting people to open up about their relationship with money. There's still this massive taboo around discussing money and debt, and it just causes more problems really for people if they don't talk to either the creditor in the first instance. If they don't want to talk to the creditor, there's some great support from the advice sector out there. Discuss with your friends if you need to, or family. Just talk about it. Talk about your money problems. If it's causing you stress and anxiety, there's help and support out there.
Yeah, that's brilliant, and that's great advice. And I would echo that. And a great source of information online is the Money and Pension Service that you mentioned earlier. They've got some great materials on there. But equally as well, if you do want to talk to somebody, then there's a lot of free advice out there, and you can find out who they are through the Money and Pension Service website. So for any listener who is wanting to talk to somebody, you know, don't wait, get onto it straight away. And I agree with you, Lee. You know, we've got to somehow do away with the idea of stigma talking about money. If people are more willing to talk about sex rather than money, we need to change something, don't we?
We need to change. Have you got another podcast for that?
yeah, that's for another day. Is that
Can
one?
I come onto that one as well?
No, we only want experts.
I've just spat my water out over my laptop now. Might have not had long left.
So, well, Lee, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate that. And I'm sure, you know, there will be people out there who are sort of interested. If you want to know more, get in touch. Go to Aurum Gold website, and I will put you in touch with the right people. And thank you very much, Lee. Have a great rest of the day.
You as well, Phil, and thanks for having me on.